First of all, you don't have to do everything, and you don't have to do everything all at once, and you don't have to be absolutely everywhere. The key is to know your audience and what their habits and what they're doing, how they consume information, and even your own personality.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. This episode's going to be a little bit different because usually, you know how we do, every even or every odd number is either solo or an interview. For the next couple of episodes, probably like four of them, I'm going to actually push out interview episodes during solo episode days. Only because we have so many extra interview episodes that are going all the way past the end of the year. And so I want to bring you that great content, and I'll take a break from the solos just for a few weeks and we'll jump right back in. So this interview, although it's supposed to be a solo episode, it's going to be an interview episode. So let's dive in and you can get the value that this guest has.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams, and we're hanging out today with Lindsay Phillips. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We definitely want to discuss how to leverage your podcast, because a lot of people get a show, but they don't know how to leverage it. And that lever is really what's going to help you get the most traction with the least amount of effort. And so we're going to be talking about four tangible ways that you'll be able to leverage your podcast a little bit better. And nobody's better at sharing this than Lindsay Phillips, who has the podcast called Leverage Your Podcast. Literally, that's what it's called. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that, and I'll probably also have a few questions about her podcast journey and things that she's done in her business life, and if we should be thinking about those as well. So Lindsay, let's just start here. The listener already has your bio. They've also got the link to your podcast so they can check it out. So I just want to go straight into these four ways that can help us to be able to get more traction with less effort on our show.
You betcha. Yeah, it's amazing how many, like, there's so much time and effort, as you know, to put into a podcast, right? Whether you're hosting or even guesting, and then you're promoting it, and, you know, your time and your knowledge. And it's like, it's a shame when I see so many podcast hosts that don't leverage it. And meanwhile, they're like, burning the candles at both ends, doing videos, doing blogs, doing the podcast, trying to be on social. And like, there's so much to do. So it's like, to me, I'm all about efficiency. Kill, you know, a couple birds with one stone and leverage the heck out of it. So through that, I did create a system so that, you know, you can create authority boosting content without killing yourself. Now, I do want to preface that I built the system mainly for podcast hosts, but a lot of the principles can also be taken for those that are guesting on the podcast so that they can leverage that opportunity too. Because yeah, you've probably seen it, Adam, you're a guest on a show and they're like, yay, I was a guest on the show. And like, that's it. So do you want me to just go through the steps?
Yeah. What's number one?
You betcha. So the first one is to publish for results. Now, a lot of podcasters miss that opportunity of publishing their podcast on their website. Sometimes its own little platform, or they're using their podcast host as the platform. Where really you want to push traffic to your site as much as possible, because that's where they get to know you. That's where they check out other resources. That's your opportunity to convert them to a lead and get on your e-list, and obviously for them to see your services and then hopefully convert to be a client. And obviously from an SEO standpoint, you know, you can create, just like you do a blog post, you would create a podcast post with show notes, graphics, call to actions. You can put in the video embed. It's such a huge opportunity to gain more leads and gain more clients.
So I'm taking some notes here, and this is what I've got so far. The first thing is you want to publish for results, number one. And what many people miss is getting things on their website. You're suggesting to push the traffic there. mm-hmm. share resources there so that they have access to them. You can get more leads, get more people on your email list, improve your SEO,
yeah,
embed some video there, and even maybe do your transcriptions to grow that. So when you say publish for results, that mainly means that you want people to go to your website, or
yeah, so
understanding.
No, that's exactly it. So publish it as a post on your website. So just like you have a blog category, you can have a podcast category. And when you think about it, like when you go to a blog post, and in this case, it would be a podcast post, there's that sidebar, that real estate on the right hand side that is super key. You can have like buttons to like listen on iTunes, but you can have, you know, check out my Facebook group, or, you know, buy this thing, sign up for this free course, or whatever it may be. It's just like a no-brainer to convert those listeners to leads.
Okay. So if we're used to wanting the podcast itself to grow, and we're trying to just like push people to just the podcast or something like that, we need to rethink, in your opinion, and have our people move from the podcast platform to our website?
That's a great question. So everyone's a little bit different. And for me, I'm kind of like, why limit yourself on, it's kind of like those people, and I'll get to this in the just my second step, but like, you don't want to limit yourself on where you are. And, you know, yes, people are going to listen on iTunes. Yes, people are going to listen on Stitcher, but a lot of people actually listen on the podcast page where the player is. So they can listen right there on that post. And like for me, in my stats, most of my listeners actually listen on my website, which even surprised me, honestly, Adam. I thought, oh, of course they're going to be, you think, oh, they're all going to be on iTunes, right? But like your stats with Libsyn or wherever, it'll tell you kind of like where people are hanging out. And so when I promote my podcast on email, LinkedIn newsletter, wherever, I'm pushing the traffic to go tell them to listen on my post page. Yes, I also have buttons on there to like go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to their favorite like player. And people might naturally subscribe already on Stitcher or wherever and just get it and listen and consume. But it's a way for me to have them see what I'm really about, what my services are, and also how to, you know, get a free resource and get on my e-list and grow it. So it's kind of killing a few birds with one stone, and it's just another way of like converting that traffic.
All right. I've got plenty of questions coming up.
All right.
But I want to hear number two.
All right. So the second one, which I kind of teased a little bit, it was distribute for maximum exposure. So again, I've done so many podcast launches, and it's funny, people think, oh, it goes to iTunes and like, that's it. And there's like new players, I swear to God, every week. There's like, you know, TuneIn and, you know, Google, obviously. Amazon is a biggie, especially where people can listen to it on like Alexa or whatever, you know, those little apps are. And there's even new ones. I don't know if you've seen these ones, but one's called Audia and the other one is called Verbal. And they're almost like a mashup between YouTube and Spotify, where people can search and they actually get specific episodes versus just the actual podcast. And some of them can even comment. And so you can communicate with your listeners. So there's like new ones that keep popping up that you just have more opportunity to increase your exposure. I had one of my clients, I can't remember which one it is right now. I think it was Verbal. And she signed up for the new one, posted her podcast on that platform. And like she instantly got a ton more downloads and listeners right off the bat just from doing that. So you're just being able to reach that many more people.
Okay. Very cool. So you mentioned a few that not very many people have heard of. And how do we find those? Like you mentioned just a couple and they were unique. But if we're going to try to distribute for max exposure, then like I know for a fact that not all we do is just go to the podcast platform and then let it do its own algorithm, because it might post to 12 or 15 automatically, but it's not going to post to 50.
Yeah.
So how do we figure that out? How do we get onto those other platforms? What's the plan of action?
Couple of easy ways. It depending on what your host is. So like Buzzsprout, Libsyn, whoever, at the back end, you'll see it'll have a list of directories and it has easy buttons where it's like connect. And so some of them make you like sign up. Like, so for Stitcher, you have to have a username and a password. But generally speaking, even if you have to do that extra step in the back end, you just simply like punch in your name of your podcast or the RSS feed, or sometimes even they just ask for the iTunes link, and it just like it pulls that RSS feed and it just populates it. And then once it's done, it just updates. So it's like it's no setup time whatsoever. And you can Google like podcast directories. There's like a bazillion, but some of them are like only on iPhones, Apple products. Some of them are only on like Apple and iPhone. They're not on desktop. So it just depends, you know, how much work you want to put into it. But again, like I probably should do a blog on like the number of directories in my spare time.
Cool. All right. What's number three?
Number three is to repurpose for higher visibility. And what I mean by repurpose is like using that pillar piece of content in different ways. It's kind of like if I do a podcast episode on, I don't know, podcast guesting pitches, and then I'm like, oh, I got to write a blog. I got to do a video. What should I do it on? I have no idea. I need to do some social posts. Not sure what to write it on. Repurpose that pillar, that topic that you just did a podcast on, and just no one's going to be none the wiser. And some people like listen, right? They do podcasts, obviously. Some people prefer to watch videos. Some people prefer to read. So people consume information in different ways. So don't be afraid to use that topic and be like, oh, I'm going to go live next week and pull, like, do a third of the topic that I spoke about on that podcast. Or I'm going to write a blog, but maybe expand on some of the points and then reuse that. So it just makes your life so much easier to be able to use that topic or that content in other ways and other mediums to make it so easy. And plus you're reaching other people that kind of consume information differently.
So if we're going to repurpose, what's the way to think of it? Because I think there's going to be pros and cons. For example,
yeah,
if we're trying to be in a lot of different places, it could potentially be stressful to try to be in so many places. It could possibly lose focus where you're doubling down in on one place to make sure that it's going to work, where you kind of are spinning just a lot of plates. So it could feel stressful. It might possibly be challenging, like to get real results by doing many different things. So
spreading yourself thin.
How do we think through it, like to repurpose efficiently, to repurpose where we can still follow up in on those different posts that we're making in different places. And if this is video content, if these are reels, if these are like, let's get some practical tip on how does it look for Adam Adams to repurpose today's episode?
For sure. So for you, Adam, you know, this content is not your piece. It's not your, like, you talking, it's me, right? So you could easily, well, let me backtrack a little bit. First of all, you don't have to do everything, and you don't have to do everything all at once, and you don't have to be absolutely everywhere. The key is to know your audience and what their habits and what they're doing, how they consume information, and even your own personality. Like, I don't love doing video. I hate it. And I know I need to like go live on Facebook, but I just don't. And I love writing. I just love blogs, but it's like looking at the data, right? It's like if you in the past, your stats, your Google Analytics, you're getting a lot of traffic to your blogs and people are reading them and you're converting them, then like don't stop using blogs just because you have a podcast. you can just use the show notes and the topics of things that I've just spoken about in this episode, and like hire a writer even if you wanted to like pull these major points out, expand on a few of them, and write a blog on it. So that's just one idea. Or you, Adam, could go live on Facebook in 3 weeks' time, let's say, and, you know, hey, I was reflecting on an episode that I did with Lindsay and we talked about this and it made me think of this and she raised a couple points that I liked, blah, 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 blah. And then so you're visible in front of your audience. You're almost like giving like a recap or your own take or your own insights on the podcast episode that you did. And plus, because you're going live, you're inflecting those algorithms and notifications so people can watch. And then you also just tease the podcast episode so they can go back a couple weeks and like and listen to it. So that way you're achieving results on the Facebook platform, also seeding and mentioning your podcast in hopes that they'll go back and listen to it. And it's easy content. It's just you going live and talking about something that you already experienced and someone else already spoke about. So it's like, it's super easy. So again, it's just kind of like getting your brain outside of the box that you don't have to bang your head against a wall to figure out what am I going to talk about when I go live next week. If I love writing blogs and I do 2 a month, I don't have to like, what the heck am I going to write about? And you're sitting there staring at a blank piece of paper. You have your podcast. You have those episodes that you guested on. Use those topics again in different ways.
Yeah. How about,
does that help?
Yeah, that's very helpful. How about number four? Let's jump in.
For sure. This is my favorite. So this is multiplying for consistent content and obviously your sanity. So I'll kind of explain kind of like what I do and then also what I do for my clients. So like Adam, I had you on my show not long ago, which was awesome. And I used the video portion of the podcast, put it up on YouTube. But I also take like little bits and pieces of the nuggets of wisdom that you shared on the podcast. And so I made like an audiogram. I made, or my team made it, a couple of like short videos that were like little sound bites of tips that you gave. So those square videos that can go on social, go on Instagram, and so on. I also created other standalone social media posts that are like quotes that you've said or tips. I've also created posts that simply ask a question about part of the conversation. Like, hey, what are you thinking about this? What do you normally do? Do you prefer A, B, and C? So it's kind of like trying to get more engagement out of your social media audience. And then it's just like, it's super easy content to create because you've already got that foundational piece of content. I already have all these awesome things that you spoke about, Adam. And so I just have to like extract the little pieces, make social media, make those audiograms and videograms, and boom, I have content for like a week and more. So it's like, it's super easy and it's branded for the podcast, showcases you. And yeah, it's easy to create.
So I want to differentiate 2, 3, and 4 better in my mind. So I need your help. One of them is to distribute for maximum exposure. That was number 2. It seems pretty self-explanatory. This just means that it's a full episode, but I'm getting it on as many places as possible. Is that right?
Yeah. So don't just rely on iTunes or Stitcher. Like there are others. And yeah, make sure that you're distributing. Oh, I should also mention, when I say distribution, you can also email it to your list. So you're distributing, sharing the podcast episode to your e-list.
Okay.
And then you can even put it on LinkedIn as an article. Now they publish like newsletters where people can actually subscribe to it. So I share my podcast every week on LinkedIn as an article, as another form of distributing that episode to get in front of more eyeballs.
All right. I'm writing down LinkedIn article.
Yeah.
How is it different for 3 and 4? 3, it's to repurpose for higher visibility. using content in different ways. Four is multiplying for consistent content and to help your sanity by doing videograms, audiograms, social media posts, quotes, tips, and asking your audience about the content and getting engagement. What is different between three and four? If just to help me to really make sure that I'm pushing them together.
Totally. So three, repurposing, is more or less thinking about the topic and information that was shared in that podcast episode in other ways so that you're not banging your head against a wall to try to figure out what to say on live on Facebook. Or if you are writing blogs, oh my God, what am I going to write about? Or if you, you know, are creating short videos on YouTube to grow your YouTube channel, and that's one of your strategies, you don't have to try to think up new topics. You already have a backlog of all these amazing podcasts that you've done, whether you hosted or guested. Just reuse that topic and the bullet points that were covered.
Okay. And multiplying for consistent content, what do you do differently there? I know there's videograms and audiograms. Is this where you're chopping up content that was
splice recorded? And dice?
So number three is kind of like, be okay with
reusing,
taking those ideas that came before and expounding on them or condensing them to
absolutely
make more new content, but underneath the same thing that you know your listener wants. And number four is you've already recorded this. You've already got all the images. Now it's how do we promote it? How do we get those unique things in front of different people on different platforms? Is that right? Or am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally. And so by multiplying, it's like, let's say you did a podcast on, I don't know, the 10 ways to build a boat. And then, so you can be like, okay, there's 10 points. You can write a social media post that is just that third point. Hey, did you know you can do this? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Or like, if you have those 5 things, 10 things, you can take this one and make it a social media post or a question or a quote, depending on what the heck it is. So you're pulling, I call them snackable bites. So you're pulling out little standalone bits of information, and then it just becomes a social media post. Because some people consume by scrolling and they're just like, ooh, that little tiny tip is good. So they may not necessarily click and link outside to your post, listen and consume the whole podcast. Hopefully you have piqued their curiosity and they're like, I like that tip. I need to listen to the whole episode. But you know what people are like when they're scrolling. And I've seen it on, like, especially LinkedIn, where I've just done like a tip. Actually, there was one that it was one of your tips. And someone commented on it. And they're like, oh, that's a good tip, blah, 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 blah. And they finished commenting on it. But they got value just from that little tiny tip that I shared.
Awesome. So I'm going to probably ask you a question here. I'm going to go through these four things. So if you've got your paper and pen ready, get ready to write down. Publish for results. This basically is talking about the website, SEO, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Number two, distribute for maximum exposure. And this means making sure that the RSS feed goes to as many places as possible, and you're even sending things to your email list.
Mm-hmm.
If you're publishing it, if you're doing the work anyway, get in front of people. Number three, repurpose means the content that comes out of any episode, you can expound on it, narrow it down, pick just one point, one tip, one trick, or go into more detail after having an interview or even a solo episode. Number four is multiplying for consistent content. And this means to create ways of marketing that content, getting in front of people. And a big tip that we got was engagement. And you've heard me say this on this show before, ask, don't tell. When we keep telling, people are scrolling. They're going past it. When we're asking, we're doing a pattern interrupt. We're having them think, and they're stopping the scroll. That's what you want. You want to stop the scroll. And Lindsay mentioned how to stop the scroll. And she mentioned, as you're doing these videograms, audiograms, one of the things you can do is you ask questions about the content, because that gets the listener to think. And as you ask, they engage. And because you're stopping the scroll and because you're getting engagement, ding, 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 guess what also happens? You're getting more social media algorithms to be triggered, whereas more of those people will see that same content. So it's real tricky. I love that she brought that up, and I think it's really going to help you. Lindsay, I have a random question about number one.
Yeah, you betcha.
And it's kind of like part of number one, kind of part of number two, because you mentioned the email list during both, like publish it to your website and how you're trying to get people on your email list. And number two, you talked about how that was one of the places where you distribute your content. The big question I have is, how do we work our email list? And I want you to think about a few different listeners. One of our listeners is going to do only one episode every other week. Mm-hmm. Most of our listeners are going to do a weekly episode. They know that you got to go at least weekly, and that's what they're doing. They're like, whew, good. It might be hard or it might be easy, but I'm going to do at least one. And then we just have a few other people that listen that do multiple episodes every single week. So if you wouldn't mind thinking through us in real life as we're going to publish content, and we're any one of those people. I mean, maybe we are all of those people. Share tips for all. But what should we be doing on our email list? If we are capturing those email lists because we're bringing people to our own website, what do we do with those emails? How often do we send them emails? How often do we send them salesy things? How often do we send them an episode? Do we send every single episode? Do we do a once a month roundup? I'm going to turn it over to you because I'm really curious. Mm-hmm. Once we're getting those email lists, if we're following your system, we're going to have an email list. So how do we use it?
That's a great question. I get that all the time. There will be people that tell you you need to email people every day. And if they opt out, you're just weeding out crappy leads. And I'm like, well, that's harsh. I think you just need to have consistency. It's like, at the very least, have a touch point once a week with your list and sharing. You really want to be top of mind, right? And just get them used to opening your emails so that the email deliverability is consistent and you're open, your click rates are good. Because when you do something that's promotional, they're more likely to open it. So if you go for a few months, or you know, you're really sporadic on when you send them stuff, they're not going to be in the habit of seeing and opening your emails. So when you want them to open your emails for something that counts, they're just not going to as much. So you're not going to get as much results. There's different ways you can go about it in regards to like the how. You can do like a weekly email when your episode goes live. Some people do like a newsletter or like e-zine approach where they kind of give a commentary, share a podcast, some other resources, a quote. Or I've also seen where people send a weekly or monthly email where it's like, hey, here's what you missed this month. And it's got like, you know, here's this blog. Here's an article by somebody else that I found really interesting. Here is a live Facebook that I did, you know, 2 weeks ago. Click over on Facebook and check it out. Here's, you know, the podcast that went live this month. So it's kind of like, some people, I know I love those ones because I'm like, I just scan through it. Ooh, what did I miss? What pertains to me? What am I going to click on? You know what I mean? I love those ones.
So what do you do then? You know, we have a lot of clients that do podcasting, and they always want to know that question. They always want to know how often. And a lot of them feel like, especially if they're doing multiple per week, they feel like that's just overkill. And yeah. I want to share with you the suggestions that I've been sharing with them. And I want to get your thoughts on it as well. Bounce this idea.
Yeah, totally.
I always say to do weekly, if you can do a weekly post. Mm-hmm. And at a minimum, do a monthly roundup. similar to what I think you said a moment ago, like where you kind of have a list of anything that came out this month. And then on top of that, the way that I say to do it, and I'm really curious about your thoughts here. I always say, like, when you're about to send that monthly thing, start from a place of gratitude. Like when you're sending that email, just be like, oh, so happy. The podcast has been growing. We had some amazing guests. Here's just a few highlights. Mm-hmm. And then you link one of those episodes that you think people need to listen to and then tell them why. So you basically, let's say you have 4 episodes, or some months you might have 5, you might have 8 or 9, depending on if it's a longer month. But let's just say that somebody has 9 episodes that came out in a 31-day span, and they're going to do this. Then it'll say, thank you, everybody who's been listening. So grateful to have such a good, strong listener base. Podcast has been growing. And by the way, we had a really good month. Here's our 9 podcast episodes. And one of them, I think you should definitely check out and listen to. It's this one. And here's why. And you mm-hmm. give them like a compelling reason what's in it for them to listen.
Totally.
To. For example, like today, one of the episodes I interviewed Lindsay Phillips, and we got into ways of being able to leverage your podcast. And I think you should check it out because you could get more done with less effort. So that's the one that I'm going to put in this email. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that process, or the once a week process? Is there anything that I'm suggesting that you don't like, or something that I'm not saying that you think we should add?
No, I liked what you said because of like the gratitude. Like, I don't know if you get Adam Schaible's emails, but he's really good at sharing gratitude, and like, you know, you can tell that he's really engaged in his audience, and I really like that. And I like what you said in regards to like, hey, I listened to this, here's what I got out of it, and I think you would like it because of this. That approach to me feels more personal, and it's like it's sharing your insight and your take on it, as opposed to, hey, this person was on my show, they talked about this, click here to listen. It's like, it's more of a commentary and it feels more personal. I love those monthly emails. I haven't personally done it yet. I probably should now that we're talking about it. But I also think it's good to like mix things up. And I know I'm guilty of that. I need to get better of that myself. I'm not perfect. But it's like, you know, sending a random email, sharing a live Facebook. Hey, did you check this out? You know, just making sure, blah, blah, blah. Or like, it doesn't have to be copywritten. It doesn't have to be contrived. It doesn't have to be long. You just have to stay top of mind and care about your listener. Even, I don't know if you've heard of these, but like the 9-word emails, I think it was Dean Jackson that kind of coined it. But like even sending out an email to your list, just asking them a question like, hey, just curious to get some feedback from my, you know, audience or whatever. Are you more into podcast guesting, or do you host a podcast? Hit reply and let me know. Or, hey, for any of you that are hosting podcasts and you're promoting it, what is your pain point? What do you hate doing? Hit reply, let me know. So it just gets like them used to opening, clicking, replying. And then some of them, you can even get like a conversation going. Not only does it help with your like email deliverability and your stats within your email, your CRM, but you can actually engage in conversations and then convert them to like, hey, why don't we hop on a call? Maybe there's a way I can help you. So from a sales perspective, you know, obviously you're not going to jump down their throat and be super salesy right off the bat, but it's just like building those relationships and having those conversations. So it doesn't have to be like, oh man, I got to write all these emails all the time.
Yeah. Good stuff. A lot of good stuff on those 4 things. I do have 2 more main questions that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here in a moment, and then we'll come back and we'll jump into these. But just so that the listener knows, Lindsay was on, featured in a few different places like NBC and Fox, and we could just keep going. And so I want to talk a little bit about how she got on there, and if we should be thinking about doing that, and maybe how we could do it. And then I definitely just want to get her absolute best advice for somebody who's brand new and starting a podcast to make sure that they're going in the right direction. So we'll do that here in just a moment, but we'll do a sponsor first. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. All right, we're back with Lindsay Phillips. And as I mentioned to you a little bit before, she has been on MSN, NBC, Fox, Huffington Post, on noteworthy other podcasts as well. So I want to talk about first question is a yes or no. Should we be thinking about getting our name out the way that you have?
From an authority boosting standpoint, yes. But think of it this way, like you want to boost your authority in your space so that you're the go-to expert, because it's just easier to like magnetize and attract your ideal client, but also it becomes easier to convert them to a paying client when that credibility is just like checked off. Like it's kind of like when you see someone that is an author, you're like, ooh, they know what they're talking about. You just automatically think that. And then having a podcast as well is another way to build your authority. You know, being featured on MSN or like wherever, or being published wherever, is just another one of those things where people see it and they're like, oh, they know what they're talking about. I don't have to like search the internet to get reviews and figure things out. And I don't know if I trust them. It just helps speed up that process for them to trust you and hopefully, you know, reach out. And it also allows you to charge more, like to boost your rates.
So a couple of takeaways. The answer is yes, we should try to do that. And a couple of things that it can do. A or B, it could help us have a charge a premium. Mm-hmm. But A, it's the know, like, trust. And this is a big portion of the know. It helps us be more searchable. When people are looking for Lindsay Phillips, they see all that stuff. It helps us to get that credibility. It helps us with the awareness part of the funnel. The awareness part of the funnel is when we're basically hacking other people's platforms, other people's followers, CBS, NBC, Fox, Huffington Post, they already have a lot of people that subscribe and look at everything that they can on there. And you found a way to be on there and to be found. So with that in mind, how did you make it happen? Like, how did you jump into some of these places? And as a follow-up question, secondary part of that question, how would we be featured in some of these places if we wanted to?
I mean, there's a few different ways. Some of it can happen organically. And it's like, I don't know if you know Kelly Roach, but like she is all over the place now. And so they probably seek her out for articles and what have you, TV spots. You can hire PR companies that help because they've got all the connections, right? With press and media and so forth. So they can get that kind of foot in the door. I happen to know a media company and they were able to write an article for me and about me and push it out to those media outlets so that I could say I was on MSN and NBC and all that good stuff. From that, someone else did reach out to me to be included in an article for Huffington Post. So, you know, I got interviewed. Yeah, I can't even remember now. I had a phone interview, talked about some things, gave them some information, and they included me in their article. So it actually does open up other doors to be able to be published or get on certain podcasts or, you know, those notables. So that's kind of a nice bonus.
Awesome. And also you provide that service Is that true?
I do. Yeah. Still connected with, I don't promote it outwardly. Not sure why, but I mainly just use it for my clients, but so I'm still connected with that PR company. So yeah, for sure. We can have an article written, you know, leverage that connection and get that image for you to say you've been on MSN, Fox, NBC, and all that good stuff to help you kind of get that leg up in your credibility.
Cool. And then now I want to move it toward just like your top advice for a newer podcaster to make sure that they're going to have a successful podcast. None of it can come with leveraging a podcast. We've already talked about that.
Yes.
You got to say something new. Here we go.
That's all right.
That's all right. I got some.
That's okay. I got lots to say.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, it can feel daunting launching a podcast. And honestly, the biggest thing that I find when prospects come to me, I've had where, oh, I want to start a podcast. But the key thing, once I kind of dug into like, you know, how long they've been in business for, do they have a business model? Like, do they already have services or products or masterminds or events, like a sales funnel, like an ascension ladder in place? If they have a business and they're already have a lot of leads and they just need to like, you know, boost their authority, make different connections, get more sales, yeah, host a podcast. But if you're still kind of at a level where you need that visibility, you need those leads, you need to get your name out there more than anything, then guesting on podcasts is going to make that happen that much faster. So kind of like ask the right questions before you go ahead and launch, because maybe it would be better to guest for a while and kind of get your feet wet and then have a podcast. But I mean, if you have a great business model behind you, you've got products, you've got services, you've got like a system and a huge knowledge base, and you really want to step up as a leader in your industry, then absolutely, it's a good time to launch a podcast. And don't feel like, you know, oh, there's a million podcasts out there. No one's going to listen to me. Yes, there are a lot of podcasts out there, but Podfade, like, oh my gosh, the number of podcasts that don't go past 10 episodes. And if you stay consistent, it will bring you business and your podcast will grow. And so will your listeners and your credibility and your authority and all those awesome, wonderful things.
Awesome. I'm getting a big takeaway of starting a podcast is a great way to add all of those things to our thing. And we don't have to start the podcast right away. We could try guesting for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to hack other people's networks, get in their listeners, their followers. And I will say, because I found it to be very organic, once you have your own thought leadership platform, if it's a podcast, if it's a book, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to organically be featured on other people's podcasts and on their stages.
So true.
And things like that. So it could be an upward spiral, if you will.
Yeah, I know. It all kind of like intertwines for sure.
And now you're going to be able to do both even more. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever...
Go ahead.
Like, you must get a lot of people that approach you to start a podcast. Like, do you ever tell them, yes, you should, no, you shouldn't? Like, do you get those scenarios?
Yeah. I've told a few people that they shouldn't hire us, but I've told even more that they shouldn't even start a podcast. And friends of mine call. Friends of mine are like, Adam's the man. I should start a podcast and I'll ask a few questions. And
yeah.
Then I'll say, and I'll be with their whole team just on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'll end it with, you guys should not start a podcast. I don't see the benefit. You should just do Facebook ads for what you're thinking. You should just keep hosting conferences, keep hosting meetups. The podcast is going to be extra work and not give you as much. So there is a small percentage of people, but lots, because I'm doing like probably 4 or 5 discovery calls every week. And we'll say on average, 1 out of 10, I'm like, you should not spend your time with a podcast. But most of them, I'm like, let's do it and I can help you and it's going to help you. So yeah, you're right. There's some people that just shouldn't.
No, I agree for sure. And people are like, what? I'm like, not that I don't want your business, but I can't consciously, or whatever the word is, it doesn't logically make sense to me. And I'm like, I don't want you to spend your money when your business isn't ready for it.
I had one person argue and keep throwing things out there to me. And I remember saying, look at this much money versus this much money. It seems like you just really want a podcast. If that's where you are and you're okay with it, just that you want a podcast, I'll help you. But just know you're going to get as much value doing these other things that they were already doing. I don't want the listener today to be like, maybe I shouldn't start a podcast. You probably should. You've been listening for a long time. But if you get on a call with Lindsay, if you got to get on a call with me, here's at least one thing you'll know. If we don't think you should, we'll tell you. We're not going to waste your money.
We'll be honest.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So just remember, you probably should. Most people will get value, but there's some people that want to have a podcast, but it becomes time and money that is unnecessary for them to spend.
Agreed.
Time or money.
Yeah, for sure.
What a great way to end.
There you go.
I'm going to let you go, Lindsay, and let me share to the listener. Her bio is already there. The links are already there to her company, to her podcast. If we have her back on the show, we're going to talk about rebranding podcasts, because I can't remember if it's like three shows that you've done, Lindsay, or is that right? Three?
I know.
Is it right?
I know. People think they can't rebrand or change their podcast. I'm so like, sure you can.
We'll probably talk about that next time.
Coolio.
And if you're listening, you probably know, because you might have listened to other episodes, that every other episode on this show is a solo episode where it's me and you just having a conversation instead of me with a guest. So keep listening. That next episode's coming right up. See you there. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.